All right, can you hear me? Fantastic. Did you bring your Bible with you? Awesome. Turn over to the book of Mark. I'm going to have you do something. Mark, going over to the book of Mark, chapter 10. My notes are short, really short, so that may be actually a little too loud right there. I want you to look at somebody close to you, and I want you to say, I'm glad you're here tonight. Yeah. Now, I want you to say, God loves you and I love you. Okay, good. Now, I want you to say, if you really love God, you'll turn off your cell phone right now. That's right, yes. So, here's the thing. You need to know about me. I have ADHD. What that means is, I can see everybody here. And if I see your face light up, unless your name is Moses and you've just spoken with God, it's going to attract my attention in a negative fashion. I just want you to know that ahead of time. So, it's great that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm appreciative to be asked to speak tonight. We're going to talk about surrendering this weekend. And surrender is a hard thing because surrender to us sounds like losing. And so it's easy for us to get caught thinking, well, if I come and I surrender something to God, it's going to be like people can hold that over my head now. It's going to be like they have something on me. I've known young people, teenagers in particular, who didn't want to become a Christian because they thought, as soon as I do that, there's stuff everybody's going to expect of me. It's easy for us, as we're growing up, to start to think giving up or surrendering something sounds like I lose it. It sounds like I lose. And I want you to be thinking this weekend that surrendering your life to God, giving yourself to Him, is not at all the beginning of a losing life. It's the beginning of a winning life. And I want you to think about that. That surrendering to Him is different than surrendering to anybody else in your life or any other situation in your life. Giving your life to God is not the beginning of losing, it's the beginning of winning. And I want you to think about it in those terms. We're going to start out and talk about sacrifice. And to do this, we're going to talk about a story you've probably heard before. We're going to read this, and as we go through it, I want to help you with some ways to visualize this, I think, better. One of the things I love to do with Scripture is I like to read it. Then I like to put myself in the position of the people that were there. And hopefully we can do that as we talk about this tonight. Let's start in chapter 10 of Mark, verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him, and He fell on his knees before Him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Look at the guy's attitude. He comes up and he drops himself down, sort of in a surrendering position, sort of in a position where he's saying, I don't have the power. Jesus, what do I do to obtain eternal life? And he's asking that question because he sees Jesus as somebody who talks about this all the time. And he's thinking, Jesus can help me. He must be thinking Jesus is the Son of God. That would be a logical thing to think about. And he's asking Him, what must I do? Jesus knows, everybody else is listening. So whatever Jesus tells this guy, probably everybody hearing that's going to be affected by it. Now, I want you to also think, with Jesus, it's not just Jesus by Himself. He's also got disciples with Him. So He's got this entourage of people that follow Him everywhere. They love Jesus. They commit their life to Jesus, but they also are really paying attention when He speaks. They're listening to Him. And because of that, we're going to see by the time we get to the end of the story, they're really listening to what Jesus is saying. And it affects them in a way that I think we can understand when we read this story. "Why do you call me good?" verse 18, Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Jesus brings to his mind the classic Old Testament teaching that this guy would have grown up with. And he says, you've got to do all those things. And the young man, almost like the excited kid in Bible class, responds and he says, "Teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. I've always done these things. Are you proud of me?" And Jesus is proud of him. I know that because look what the next thing says. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Jesus doesn't look at the guy and think, "You're a jerk," or "Why are you asking me this question?" He says, his first reaction to this man is he loves him. And I hope that you guys see when God looks at you, that God looks at you in love, that Christ looks at you in love. Not with contempt, not with upset, not with anger, not trying to find a way to punish you, not trying to humiliate you. We do that to each other all the time. There's things I love about the internet. It's a good place to find information quickly. But one of the things I hate about the internet is that it makes all of us aware that at any moment, somebody that knows us could humiliate us, could put a picture up that we don't like, could show something that we don't want them to say, could tell something about us that we don't want anybody else to know, something that maybe we told them in private, something maybe that's been hidden for years, and all of a sudden it just comes out. The internet is punishing that way. And it's easy for us in our culture, in our society, to think that God is like the people that are in charge of us, some authority figure, who can't wait till he catches us doing something we shouldn't be doing. And it's easy to think about God that way. But I think we'll see throughout the weekend that when we think about surrendering ourselves to God, it's not like surrendering ourselves to a person who has control over us. It's like giving ourselves to somebody who loves us so much, he's done everything and moved heaven and earth to provide an opportunity for us. That's different than we think about people in this world. Now, some of you might have stuff that you wish nobody knew about. And maybe you have something this weekend that you're thinking, "Boy, I hope nobody ever finds out about this." I want to encourage you about something. Everybody here has some of that. The longer we've lived, the more of that we have. I'm a grandpa now, so I have lots of that stuff that I don't want anybody to tell about me. But the reason I'm not fearful every day when I wake up, the reason I'm not scared every moment thinking about what if somebody reveals this thing about me, is because Jesus Christ died for me. And that makes me different and that changes me. My willingness to say to him, "I want to give myself up and I want to live with your thinking and your mind and your heart and your love for people the way that you love me." That changes everything. I don't have to be fearful, worried, and scared. This guy is fearful and worried and scared. I can feel it. I can feel it when I read this story. I want you to do something as we read the rest of this story. In your Bible, it might call him a wealthy young man or a rich young man, or some places it calls him a rich young ruler. I want you to think about this young man. And I want you to put in his image somebody that you think of as a wealthy person that's important as they come up to talk to Jesus. And I want you to think about a part of this story that it's easy for us to miss. I want you to imagine that person is Elon Musk or The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, right? Or Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I'm from Kansas City, that's right. Or Taylor Swift. Okay, all right, that's a stretch. Not a young man, but a young person who is wealthy and well-to-do. And you're standing in a crowd, and this person that everybody knows in the crowd steps up, and Jesus starts to interact with them. And you're thinking the whole time, what would it do to our movement if all of a sudden this person would commit their life to Jesus? Everybody else would want to do it. If Elon Musk said, "I'm going to give it all up, I want to become a Christian." Awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, there'd be other people curious, interested, intrigued about that. They'd want to come, ask questions, find out about that. What if Patrick Mahomes said publicly, right there in front of everybody, I want to become a Christian, I want to serve Christ." And you can feel the disciples thinking this. They're watching Jesus interact with this wealthy young person. Now, probably they all knew who this was. This was somebody that had money. He dressed different. He looked different. Maybe he smelled different than other people. Because you could just see that guy's got money. Y'all ever see anybody like that? Y'all know anybody like that? You see somebody walk in, there's somebody important. You're like, that's somebody important. I don't know who that is, but that's somebody important. I've done it. I've felt that from other people. I've seen a famous person before in public. It's kind of amazing. And you can feel the disciples thinking, Jesus, what are you going to say to this guy? How are you going to interact? This guy's coming. He wants to serve Christ with his life. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. One thing you lack, he said. One thing you lack. Jesus, this guy doesn't lack anything. This guy has everything. What are you talking about? Did you see the chariot he rode up in? It's an E-chariot. Anyway, no, y'all don't think they had those. Do y'all think they had those? No, okay. Anyway, so this guy is a well-to-do person. Jesus says, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus tells him exactly the thing that he knows is his problem, the issue that stands between him and giving himself up to God, surrendering. Hey, surrender your stuff. Before you can come to me, give yourself to me, you have to give me your stuff. Not to me, but to these poor people. Help other people. Give it up. Give it away. And I think the disciples must have been shocked. The disciples must have thought, what? What, Jesus? What are you saying? What are you telling him? Because not only was it going to be their instruction to him, Jesus' instruction to this man, but it was going to be the instruction they would have too. Think about it for a second. They're listening to this because they're thinking, we have to give up all of our stuff? We have to do that too? Wouldn't you be thinking that? You might be thinking that. I don't know how much stuff you have, but I don't know. I like my stuff. Do you like your stuff? Yeah, that's why it's your stuff, right? You've claimed it over time. You're proud of it. You like the things that you have. Even if you know sometimes your stuff is not as great as somebody else's, you like your stuff. And so Jesus says to him, I want you to give all your stuff up. This is hard. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Why did he go away sad? Well, he had great wealth, yeah. But why does that affect anything? Well, because this man is not thinking about what he gets the minute he surrenders his life to Christ. He's thinking about what it's going to cost him. And I want to tell you something. It does cost you something. It does cost you something to come to him. And really, I want to be honest with you too here. It's not just one thing it will cost you, or one time it will cost you. It will cost you stuff. It'll cost you relationships with people. There'll be people that come into your life that you think, I really care about this person, and I'm so excited about them. But because they don't love Christ, it may start to cause problems in the relationship you have with them. And you'll have to decide, am I willing to sacrifice this relationship in order to hold on to my relationship with Christ? It might cost you stuff sometimes. You might have to give up some stuff to somebody else who doesn't have stuff. That might happen too. Sometimes it might cost you a job. Good friends of mine, very smart people with families, have left jobs because they could not continue to serve in that work and serve Christ at the same time. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. And I want to tell you guys straight up, I don't want you to think, well, he's talking about surrender. That's just some concepts at a youth rally one weekend. No, it's real. If you're going to live a life knowing Jesus Christ with the rest of your life, it's going to cost you things. You're going to have to surrender some stuff. And often it might be painful. This guy says, well, that's too much pain. I can't bear that. I can't give that up. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is. It's tough. Why? Because they have a lot of stuff. It's hard for people that have a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you today, might be hard for you to believe, but probably anybody in this room would qualify as wealthy to the people that we're talking about here in the New Testament. A lot of them didn't have enough to eat every day. A lot of these people, they lived in a very harsh time. They didn't have, most of them, great wealth. And most of us have stuff and to spare. We have plenty. We have more than we need. And it's a huge blessing for us, but it can also be an enormous hurdle for us. Because the more you have, the more there is to surrender. Do you get that? Huh? If somebody comes to you and you don't have anything and they say, you're going to have to surrender everything to come to Christ. And you say, well, that's great. My pockets are empty. I have nothing. It's easy, right? None of us really approach Christ with nothing. All of us have something. Maybe it's a way of life. Maybe it's behavior. Maybe it's attitudes. Maybe it's your language. Maybe you need to sacrifice talking the way that you do to your friends, knowing that that's not good. Maybe you need to sacrifice and give up your phone. Maybe you need to sacrifice and give up your social media presence because it causes more problems than it does help for you in your life. I don't know what it is, and I can't pick that out for you. But let me tell you something. If you decide to give your life to Christ, which I pray that you do, I pray that everybody here does, if you decide to do that, there will be a cost associated with that. And we need to accept that. That surrender is not an option. That sacrifice is not an option. That it is a part of the process, and we have to think about it in those terms. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." That's hyperbole. He's just exaggerating for a point. The disciples were even more amazed. They said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, who can do it? Jesus, you just had this great, prosperous person that we all know his last name. He's got all this money. This would have been huge for the kingdom. We could have done more. We could have helped more poor people. We could have done this. We could have done that. If that guy had come and given us his wealth, we could have done some great things. Maybe they're thinking that. I don't know. But what they're really focusing on is, if that guy's not good enough for you, Jesus, how am I going to be good enough? I don't have all that. I don't have all that wealth. I don't have all that prosperity. Nobody knows my last name. I'm not an important person. So what do I have to offer? Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. With God all things are possible." Look at that. Look at what he's saying. He's saying, you can't do this by yourself. You can't do this on your own. As I tell you that, I think about a guy years ago who came to the campus ministry where I worked out in Wyoming. And he was a great young man. He was awesome. He was smart. He was an engineering major. He was doing great. He was coming to church. He'd been coming to church for a couple of months. His buddy, who was his roommate, had invited him to come. And he was on fire. He was excited. You could tell he loved being there. But he came to me and I kept inviting him. Hey, let's have a Bible study. Let's have a Bible study. And he'd push me off every time. And finally, we got together and had this Bible study. For 2 weeks, I don't see him. I'm thinking, oh no, I pushed him too hard. I said too much. What did I do? How did I not present it like I should have? In 2 weeks, he comes back. He comes to church. And the next day, he comes to see me at the student center. And he has a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, he's got two dots far apart on the piece of paper. And he said, "I started coming to church and I started getting things figured out." And he said, "I started here and I was not in a good place. I was living in a bad relationship. I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. I knew it. But I started trying to change and I started to come to church." And he said, "I started to change and make changes." And he said, "As hard as I would push, I can only get halfway. And I saw all these good people at church, and I come to church, and I talk to them, and I visit with them, and they're good Christians, and they do the right things, and they make good choices. And I'm out here making bad choices and doing the wrong thing, and I can't keep going in the right direction. I know the direction I should be going, but I can't get there. And as hard as I try, Joe, I can't get there. I can't get there." I said, "You'll never be able to get there." He said, "What?" I said, "You'll never be able to get there. You can't do it." He said, "Now what kind of encouragement is that?" And I said, "Listen, what I'm telling you is it's impossible for you to do it. You have to let go, and you're going to have to let God help you get there. You can't get all the way there. You can't become perfect. You can't make all the right decisions. You can't do all the right things. You can't choose all the right people to be around all the time. You can't do it. You will continue to make mistakes. And what you're not seeing when you go to church and see all these good people that are nice all the time, what you're not seeing is you don't see the rest of their life. Trust me, I know them. I love them, but I know them. And they have lives that are not perfect, I can tell you. Guys, it's easy. When you're a teenager, it's easy to start thinking that everybody at church that's older than you is boring, okay, first of all, that they have really sad lives where they don't do anything fun ever, okay? It's easy to think that. I used to think that too about old people like me now. And I want to tell you something. I know how to have fun. I want you to know that ahead of time. But the third thing is that's easy to think is that they're so good all the time and I'll never be like that because I know how messed up I am sometimes. And I want to tell you something. God knows about your life. Jesus knows about your life. And He's asking you to come and surrender. And maybe the hardest thing for some people in this room to give up and to finally sacrifice is your own thinking about yourself, which can be so messed up sometimes. You'll never be good enough to get there. You'll have to let Him help you. And if you don't, I'm telling you, you'll be sad forever. Because you'll never be able to perfectly make everything, just everything perfectly right and make everything just like I want it so that everything turns out perfect. You'll drive yourself crazy first. You'll never get there. It won't happen. The disciples are pretty upset about what Jesus says. Verse 28, Peter spoke up. Lord, we've left everything to follow you. Peter, make it, you know, Peter's always going to be the first one to speak up. And he says, Lord, we gave up everything. Hey, this guy, maybe he wasn't willing to give up everything. But Jesus, we've given up everything we have to come and follow you. What is there going to be for us? See, they're scared. They're worried. They're thinking, we don't have anything, Jesus. And Jesus responds and says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions. He says it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy, but you'll have people to help you. You'll have support. You'll have encouragement. You'll have a spiritual family around you. But it'll be hard, persecutions too. And he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus is trying to tell and encourage them that they need to think about who they really are and what they really have and what really actually means something to them long term. Great verse I want you to see that I want you to think about as we go through this. You can't have Jesus without sacrifice because you wouldn't have Jesus without sacrifice. I want you to get this concept that coming to Christ, you have to offer something. You have to give yourself up. You have to sacrifice something because Jesus sacrificed everything to make your coming to Him possible. So you can't have and take part in the sacrifice of Jesus unless you also sacrifice who you are. And that's a hard thing for us. First Peter, who knows well about sacrifice, Peter, he writes about that. The very one who said, Jesus, we gave up everything to follow you. 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, setting an example for you that you should follow in His steps. Whose steps do we follow in? Wait a minute, nobody answered me. Now, the church where I preach, people answer me when I ask questions, okay? Yes, that's what happens. Not every time, but most of the time. So let me ask you a question. Who do we follow? That's right. Do you know what Jesus went through? Do you know what He suffered for us? Do you know what the cross looks like? If He leads us and we follow Him, are we not going to also have to go through and have a cross that we have to suffer as well? It's not His cross. It's not the same cross. But trust me, it's a death to self. Romans 12 tells us that we come and we offer ourselves to Him. That's what it says. We don't offer a sacrifice of stuff. We don't offer a sacrifice of things. We don't have to do that. If you came and said, tonight, I need to be baptized into Christ, we're not going to say, okay, pile up all your stuff and bring it, and we'll go give that to some people, and then you can become a Christian. We don't do that because that's not up to us. We don't decide that. God decides that. Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to live differently. And let me tell you something. Young people, let me speak to you for a second here. Everybody wants something from you. It's true. You can see it everywhere around you. And some of you that are old enough to start dating, you'll start to feel that. Because you'll date somebody for a while, and at first everything's real good, and it's happy, and it's sweet. And next thing you know, they start asking for things. And you start going, wait a minute, where's this going? Where did this come from? I've never known them to be like that. Why would they say that thing to me? Why did they send me that picture? Why did they talk about this subject with me? It's because they're trying to find out what you're willing to give them. See, sacrifice happens in this world too, right? People give up stuff to get other stuff. Be cautious, be careful, be thoughtful. Stop and think about this for a minute. Sacrificing ourselves to Christ only makes us better. Sacrificing ourselves to this world will take you down a hard path. It's a dark place. It gets scary real quick. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about this weekend. You will end up sacrificing yourself somewhere. You'll give yourself up for something. I know people that I've loved, that I've been close to, that have given themselves up for success, for money. Friends of mine that they're not who they used to be because they gave themselves up for their job or for the world. I've known people that have given themselves up for a person, a relationship, and they've said, I'm going to give myself to this relationship. Whatever it costs me, I'll pay it. Let me tell you something. The cost becomes higher than you can imagine. Whatever it is you decide to give yourself up to, it's going to cost you something. Give yourself to somebody who wants what's in your best interest eternally. That is Jesus Christ Himself. And you won't ever have to regret and look back and think, man, why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? Why did I decide to do that thing? We have to be careful. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be cautious. Sometimes, sacrifice is kind of funny. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Andrew. He was in my youth group in Memphis, Tennessee. And he was a great guy. He was young, small. He was about, I think he was seventh grade. And he hadn't done much with the youth group. But we had a trip we call the fun trip every year, spring. We went to this great place. We went over a five-day period. We went paintballing, mountain biking. We did a lot of hiking. We did a adventure ropes course, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. And we also did a whitewater rafting trip in 5 days. How awesome is that? Would you go? Yeah, right. Andrew was like, I want to go. That sounds like a blast. So he comes with us. Andrew was only about this tall, but that was an advantage. Andrew was really light and small. So when we went through the ropes course, there was a challenge we had to do. There was a 10-foot high wall. Have y'all ever done a challenge course like this before? And you have to get everybody over the wall. It's tough. It's challenging. There were about 8 kids in each group. Andrew was in his group, and one of the older boys, who was a senior, strong football player guy, said, hey, he said, you guys get together as a group, help me get up there on the wall. And everybody lifted him up, and he said, once I'm up there, I'm strong, I can help pull people up over the wall. So that's what he did. He was also managing that from up high on the wall. So he started to say to people, okay, hand me this person now, hand me this person now, hand me this person now. You know why? Because even him, as a senior in high school, he started to get tired. He started to run out of gas. Finally, he got to the last couple of people. And there was a guy that was really wiry and strong. He was a receiver on the football team. And so they said, He said, hey, hand me Andrew, and I'm going to hold Andrew's arms. And then you climb up over Andrew, and then I'll lift Andrew up. That was a perfect plan, right? Perfect plan. Great plan. Andrew, this was, I want to remind you, this was his first youth trip. So he's holding Andrew's hands. And Andrew's looking up at him. And the whole group is there watching to see if this group can get over, and we're timing it. Okay, hurry, you're on the clock. Hurry, finish, get over the wall. And this kid grabs Andrew's legs and he starts to climb. And as he got to Andrew's waist, his belt wasn't quite as tight as it should have been. And he just pantsed him. And he falls to the ground. And here's the senior holding Andrew's hands. And the whole youth group is there. And Andrew's there in his underoos, you know. They weren't underoos, they were regular underwear, but they were tidy whities. Anyway. And he's standing there, and there's nothing. I mean, what do you do now, right? And you can't easily get out of this situation. And the kid, good kid, he just looks down at Andrew. He says, don't look back there, just look at me. And he lifts him over the wall, and then he, you know, gets his clothes back on, and everything, you know, works out. And everybody's horrified about this. And Andrew, the most horrified, he's like purple, you know, colored. We go to the next activity, and it's going up a 60-foot tower, and then you rappel back down it, right? Awesome thing to do. Super cool. First one volunteers is Andrew. I was like, really? So he goes, and he climbs up the tower. He gets to the top, and the guy who's running this from the top of the tower, the guy who's helping everybody rappel, starts to just crack up laughing. And I can't ask him what's going on. So later, when I got with him, I said, hey, what did Andrew say when he got up to the top? He said, well, he got up there and he had his harness on, and I was checking his harness and making sure it was tight, and I hooked the rope onto him before he rappelled down. And just as he's about to go off the wall, he says, hey, this won't make my pants fall off, will it? Andrew sacrificed something. It was some embarrassment. It was scary. But he also developed a lot of relationships that week. He got some new people, some new friends out of it, some new spiritual family because of it. You have a chance to come here this weekend and get something and take something away from here you didn't have when you showed up. You might have to surrender something. You might have to say, there's a relationship at home I need to change. There's some language I need to change. There's something I watch that I don't need to watch anymore. There's some music I listen to I don't need to listen to anymore. There might be something you have to give up this weekend. You might surrender something, but let me tell you something. The greatest sacrifice of all time calls you to sacrifice things yourself. And you better just get over that. Because you do not want to face eternity without Jesus Christ on your side. I appreciate you guys and your time. I'm looking forward to being with you tomorrow. And I hope you have a great night. Let's have a prayer and then we'll be on to the next thing. God, thank you for every good gift and blessing. Thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for your word which guides us. Thank you for the example we see there. Thank you for the bewilderment we see on the faces of the disciples as they don't understand. And we relate to that, God, and sometimes we don't understand. But help us be willing to sacrifice, to surrender who we are, knowing that you're giving us something so much better than what we would have without you and without your Son, Jesus Christ, in our life. Thank you for every gift. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.